Hey, it's Brian. Welcome to the Optimist Podcast. I have got Nathan Drummond, strength and conditioning coach, with me to talk some shop, and let's get into it. Drummo, welcome, mate. How are you?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, interesting times we're living in.
Great times, isn't it?
I've heard a lot of podcasts that have kind of beaten around the bush and not really chatted about COVID.
Yep.
But I'm sure that we'll discuss it and see how things have changed with us, and with you in particular. I'll ask some questions.
Yeah, for sure.
But just to start with, can you give us a bit of a background on who you are, what you do, your studies, how you have come to being Nathan Drummond of...
Where have I managed to get here?
Yeah, April 2020.
Yeah, so originally from a little town called Walwa, northeast Victoria. I moved to Albury when I was about 15, studied there at one of the local schools. Took me a while to sort of figure out what I wanted to do. I always loved sport, played football for a long time, rugby, cricket. At first I thought, I'll just end up doing a trade or something like all my mates will be doing, just stick to that theme, but had a little bit of practice with the trade and learned pretty quickly I wasn't into it at all.
What did you do?
One of our units at school was construction, and one of the criteria you had to do is do some work placement for 2 weeks, sort of first semester, second semester. And after a while, the first go of it was a horrible experience. The builder was just an asshole, pretty much. And then the second time I had a good time, but I was pretty much just, as you expect, just cleaning stuff up and didn't learn much. But then, yeah, so I finished year 12 and I was kind of in a rut, didn't know what I wanted to do. Had a year off, just worked home, driving forklifts, and then I kept thinking, I started doing gym training with our local football club's strength guy, and I thought, well, this is fun, I enjoy this a bit, liking to see the benefits you get from it and how much fitter and stronger you feel. And then I decided, I'm going to apply for some sort of sport science course in Melbourne and head down. I always intended coming to Melbourne because I knew I had so much sport, but that was sort of that path. And ended up at Swinburne just doing a diploma of sport development. Wasn't exactly what I thought it would be. It was more towards the sports management and working at a local council, organising grounds for clubs. And it wasn't really what I wanted to do. I like being very hands-on with all my work. So then I could have got jobs doing that, but I decided I wanted to get my hands dirty, so I went and did my PT degree, which was very easy, a lot easier than I thought. I sort of realised that I wasn't going to learn much from that. You can get base, I could have got away with it for years and just done that, but I thought, nah, I've got to go and study properly, so I went to ACU and did sports science there, and I'm glad I did because I reckon I felt like I had never learned anything from the PT course. And then, finished that off. Kept doing PT, working a bit of just local clients here and there, doing a little bit for footy clubs. And then Jake, who was our head trainer at Q at the time, which I thought he just was into physio and everything like that.
Were you playing at Q?
Yeah. I'd been sort of Q for about, I reckon, 3 years by then.
Yeah.
And Jake and I had always got along well because we both sort of grew up in the northeast. So, but I had no idea. He was sort of right into the sort of strength training stuff. I thought he just knew his stuff on that. And anyway, he called me up one day and goes, "Oh, we're at Optimist. We're thinking of starting up a sort of a strength and conditioning program. And you interested?" And I was kind of like, "Oh yeah, we'll have a chat about it." And brought me in here to the clinic, and I didn't realise I was going to be with you and having a sit-down interview, so I came just thinking we were just going to go have a beer for lunch and that was it.
Have a chat, have a yarn.
Turns out it was a proper job interview, so
yeah, cool.
and obviously it went well. So then, yeah, so been here for like a year and a half or 2 years nearly, actually.
Yeah.
Obviously started just doing the Xavier rowing, senior Xavier rowing, which was really fun. And I had done nothing with rowing. I don't think I'd ever stepped foot in a boat before. But we figured out pretty quickly that they need pretty much similar stuff to footballers and rugby players. They've just got to be very strong. And
I'll quiz you around that in terms of what are the basics that you feel footballers and rowers, what the crossover is.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll talk about applying force or some sort down that, but I'll quiz you in a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, so yeah, learned heaps of them, had great fun with those boys. They're absolute characters, those Xavier boys. Yeah, and they had a pretty good season that first year, and then we sort of, performance centre started getting up and running. We had a facility and opened up, was it June?
Yeah.
Started sort of doing a bit more stuff.
Mid-May, June.
And yeah, then everything started to take shape, and I'd sort of last year started, the head coach at Q, knew that I was sort of doing this stuff and, you know, had a keen interest and offered me the position to take the whole Q football club through the strength and conditioning, and I jumped at it because it was already had the foot in the door knowing everyone there. So, and it sort of took a while for, because still being a player, it was hard to sort of transition from being a player to a coach in maybe 20 minutes sometimes you have to do it. So other players kind of took a while to get used to it, but once we sort of started getting good results, our fitness levels were high, everyone was feeling strong, injuries were down. I'm not going to put my whole stamp on that, but I feel like I had a little bit of an impact on it. And then I think everyone started really getting around it and going, oh, okay, this is really beneficial for me. And because that, as you know, in sort of local sport, that area can go a bit unnoticed and people don't really go near. It's just like, oh, I just run and kick the footy, that's all I need to do. But
let's delve a little bit more into that, mate. Yeah. tell me what you feel like are the key underpinning principles or criteria for what you've applied at Q this year. Given everything that you've learned previously, like it sounds like you've done a lot of study and you've gone through really a lot of different levels. What are your key principles that you've applied this year?
Yeah, so it has been tricky at Q. We're a pretty big football club, and I understand that not everyone, because we're amateurs, cares so much about getting into that side of thing. But I think from what we started with a lot of the boys and the girls was just getting a baseline of strength and building into it. We could have thrown them all these sort of fancy things that all the AFL clubs are doing now, but Jake and I kind of realised that they were pretty much beginners with their weight training. So building that strength base was really important early. And then seeing them develop was really interesting too. Development and their sort of commitment to it, they were starting to get realization, oh, this is good, I feel good from it, or I'm looking good kind of thing. Sometimes that's all they want. They just want to look good, which is
the
fine.
Beach bod, hey?
Yeah, definitely, especially leading to pre-seasons. So we just built that base of strength, and then as they kind of developed, we started getting into sort of that more power stuff. And I think it's really important to be able to produce power with football, because it's got a lot large endurance base, but there's a lot of explosive movements you've got to be able to do. Jumping, tackling is so important. Those bursts out of packs for midfielders, it all comes into account. So that's why football is such a unique sport, because it's just, you've got every kind of aspect you've got to look at. And then you kind of have to balance that with their endurance ability, the repeat efforts. How can you go, all right, we don't want to make them too massive so they can't actually run. So we're kind of, trying to change things up a bit. It's always, you're always trying different things with them. I guess because the pressure's not on you immensely. Like I say, AFL strength and conditioning coach, they're pretty much expected to have their players elite straight away. whereas we had a bit of time to sort of play around with different things with these guys. And yeah, it's been really enjoyable actually, especially with their endurance stuff. I think last year I really had a red hot crack at doing some MAS running. We'd never done it before. We'd done 2K time trials as just seeing who was getting fit, but never really used that as a marker and then taking the info out of it and going, okay, this is what this player should be doing. And then we got really fit, and it was amazing. The first half of the season, I think we did the stats, and I think we were averaging 6 more goals than any other club in the last quarters, and we were tending to run over clubs in the last quarter. It may have been tight all the way up the third, but our fitness level stayed through, and I think that was just a really good indication that it works.
So I was going to ask, if you had to give any advice to like junior S&C staff or those who have maybe just newly graduated, MAS running, would that be one of the key criteria or the key tools in your toolbox that you'd be like, yep, let's give this a crack for amateur and semi-professional teams?
Definitely. I think you've got to test it all out. You can't just, some things work, some things don't. And I found some things weren't ideal for the level that we were at. But yeah, you've just got to try different things, ask people questions. If you're unsure about it, see if there's someone who knows what they're talking about and if it worked for them. One of my good mates who was down at Sandringham Dragons, Kale Turin-Johnson, he had done a fair bit with MAS, and I just quizzed him on it. I knew a bit about it, and I was kind of like, look, this has been working for him. He goes, mate, they've never been fitter. And I think they went pretty far into the finals last year, so very good squad. And I said, nah, bugger, I'm going to give this a go. I could swear it wouldn't hurt them, so they weren't too happy about it. But once, as I said, I was still playing, so I had to join in too. So they kind of weren't like, oh, he's just trying to punish us kind of thing, because I was there too with them running it out. And it was bloody hard work, but it got us fit. And so, yeah, I think the main thing is, ask questions, test things out. If it doesn't work, you learn from your mistakes kind of thing. So.
And what are some of the things that you had general success with? So you're saying the strength training and just the basics. What kinds of things did you do with the team, especially with a club as large as Q?
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at, what, 180 athletes?
Yeah, sometimes at training you've got the men's squad, which can consist of seniors, seconds, thirds, 19s, 17s coming along too. And then the women's, you've got the first and second. So, yeah, you've got a lot of people. A lot of people contacting you all the time asking for help. So different things we tried out. I obviously spoke to you a lot about things you did at Bentley. So we were doing plenty of Nordics and testing them out. Copenhagen's too, because I think the main thing that the coach wanted out of me wasn't so much about keeping them super strong and powerful. It's just preventing injuries as much as possible. And I'm trying to think. I think we didn't have too many hamstring issues last season. I think the only people who had them were people who hadn't done the training. So there's so much I can do at training compared to away from it. If they don't want to do the work, that's on them kind of thing. So I was really happy with our sort of hamstrings, because I know the years before there was like 5 in a month once, and I was just trying to rattle, and I was like, why does this keep happening? And this is when I was still learning, I was figuring out what was good for hamstrings. And yeah, we started doing Nordics, and they started feeling a bit better, and they hated them. Absolutely, they complain, and that some of them swear that they've torn their hamstring when they've done it, but they come up training, and go, oh, okay, I'm all good actually. So, and then yeah, Copenhagen's was something we brought in this pre-season, just because hips were becoming a real issue. Because we were doing a lot more high speed running, change of direction was bigger too, so their hips were copying it a lot more. And Jake was saying that he was getting a lot of people coming to him, oh, I've got sore hips, we kind of like, okay, we need to really knuckle down on targeting their adductors too. So
yeah,
we got right into the Copenhagens, and again they hated them, because going from Nordics to Copenhagens they didn't like, but it was pretty hard to judge because we got cut short a little bit with pre-season, but
So COVID's obviously thrown a spanner in the works, which has been frustrating, especially with the Xavier rowing stuff. We worked so hard over an 18-month period, and then we didn't get the end result.
They were looking so impressive. And just the results they were getting in the boat was just awesome, like way better than this season before, and we were happy with that season. They were really looking like they were going to challenge the title, I think. It was disappointing for all the work we'd put in, but I felt so sorry for those boys. They really invested in that. And you could see, I saw a few of them after the announcement happened, they were just shattered.
Yeah, so we're just talking about how Head of the River was cancelled due to COVID.
Yeah.
Was that the weekend of the Formula One Grand Prix? Was that the weekend before? I can't really remember.
Yeah, it was around that sort of fortnight period, when everything was getting shut down. They were just so pumped for it. And the coach was just really impressed with the results. Some of them were just breaking records. I feel like they almost had like a flawless pre-season leading up to it, and they just rode well.
Well, what are your thoughts now, right? So Australia's controlled COVID relatively well on an international scale. And potentially we're going to start looking at lifting restrictions. What do you think are the key things now with an accelerated return to play schedule?
Yeah.
What do you think are some of the key things that we have to look at from an injury prevention?
Oh, I think just everything we were just speaking about, those hamstrings and adductors and groins are just going to, with that increase of load straight away, I think it's just going to be massive. Everyone knows what their sort of first ever training of a set pre-season's like. It's the next few days you're no good, you struggle. I know, and you start kicking the footy, the quads are sore, the hamstrings are really sore. I know that the local football and AFL are saying 11th of May is when they'll decide when, if they go back at the end of May. So that gives you 2.5 maybe weeks of training, which is going to be hard to manage. So I think it's all about trying to educate the players on knowing when to pull up and go, okay, I'm feeling it now. I think it's hard because everyone's been so cooped up and not being able to see their mates and play football. I know it's killing me, and I want to be out there and tackling and everything like that, but there's going to have to be some wise heads going, okay, if you're feeling something, you need to pull back, otherwise that could be your season, because it's probably going to be a short season. It could be 10 weeks less. You need to really sort of find that balance between, yes, getting yourself back to reasonable fitness and also being able to go, okay, I think I need to sit out this one because I'm not feeling too great.
So what's your advice to the athletes now, with the potential that will open up trainings on a gradual basis? What would you recommend to those guys for, you know, what should they do now in the lead up to the training?
So one thing we've been trying to do at Q is I've put out a running program we've been doing, involving sort of keeping that baseline of repeat efforts fitness going, because we kind of built that long distance stuff early on. So we pretty much said, this doesn't mean we stop. We got to keep training like we would, but this is going to be a long pre-season. We're going to assume we're going back at the end of May. But now we're leading into getting closer with that 1 month left. I think it's important to keep building that high-speed running, condition those legs, practice your sprint work, because it's so important, not just in the game, but getting your legs strong enough to be able to handle it in a game, because everyone knows the intensity goes up by probably 10-20% compared to what you would at a training game, because the white line fever kicks in and you're sort of fighting against opposition, where it's a little bit different at training when you're playing with your mates, you don't want to hurt anyone kind of thing. So I think the main thing is just really condition the legs, do your isometric exercises. They're so important, because it's just going to make your life a lot more tough when, if you come back and you get injured straight away and miss the whole season, and it sort of becomes a wasted year
Talk to me about the difference between men's football. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about AFL for the international listeners. Men's football versus female football.
Yeah.
What have you done differently as an S&C coach to maybe improve injury prevention or really focus on the aspect and the differences between men's and women's bodies? Yeah. What do you think has been the keys and the key points of difference that you've worked on?
Yeah, education is a big thing for the women. As most of us know, they're very new to the sport, most of them. Some may have played in women's leagues that were set up before all the leagues popped up in the last 4 or 5 years, but a lot of brand new to it and still learning how to handle a tackle, how to handle a bump, how to jump properly, how to change direction properly. Coming from other sports helps sometimes, but not all the time. Change of footwear is huge too. And we've seen so many ACLs happening, not just because of footwear, but because of not being able to move properly, because football is a 360 degree game. It's a big ground. There's a lot of people trying to get you. If you've got the ball, you're trying to get one person too. I think, educating them on what works. So one thing that we put out a few weeks ago is, we used to do it at training, but obviously we can't now, is that I posted up some videos for the girls in their Facebook group to do sort of their ACL prevention, practicing jumping off different surfaces, changing direction, balancing, things like that. They're just, especially at this level, they're just not told about it enough. And I don't like seeing injuries like that happen, because it just puts them in a, yes, they miss the whole season with an ACL, but also can put them in a really dark area with their mental health. And a lot of people play sport to help with their mental health, and it's not nice to see that, and I want to prevent that as much as I can. There's obviously so much you can do with football, but I think, educating them on those things maybe puts them a few steps ahead of where someone would be if they'd never heard about it.
And that education creates buy-in, doesn't it?
Correct.
You educate them, they realise why they're doing these, what some people might title silly jumping exercises.
Yeah,
like old school footy coaches might be like, what the hell is this? Piss off. Like,
yeah, there's plenty of coaches out there that see some of the stuff I'm doing. I'm an absolute idiot for doing it. But I think the girls, especially the women, they're very trusting, so you've got to put their best interests at heart, and then the men are, again, they're getting on board too. They're starting to realize the benefits. Obviously the risks are a lot lower, but it can still happen, so we were doing things like that. They can take it a lot less serious than the girls, but I think educating both sides on what's important is really something you need to work on. Because you can coach as much as you want, but sometimes it doesn't sink in. But if you can show them why you're doing it and preventing something like that, then it's a huge step forward for them, I think.
Where do you think the next 2 to 5 years the industry is going, in terms of any of your personal opinions on what the S&C industry should be, what community clubs should be doing, what the private sector should be doing?
Yeah, so I think... community level, it's going to become huge. I think everyone's seeing what these people are doing sort of with elite level, and it's sort of starting to slowly filter down, which is awesome, because I don't see why community level athletes, if they get paid or they don't get paid, can't get treated like an elite athlete. That may mean they don't get the same facilities, but they can definitely be treated to the same principles and concepts and things like that. So I'm kind of seeing that it's starting to build there. He's hearing more and more from, especially in the local footy, that clubs are getting strength and conditioning coaches. Go back 10 years ago,
didn't exist
at all. It's just you have one guy that sort of knew a bit of stuff about the gym or how to keep fit, or sort of running coach or something like that, and he would come down and run you through it, but not too many sort of with either degrees. Not saying that degrees are the be all end all, but having a bit of education always helps, and being able to sort of push that towards and show coaches, especially coaches, how important it is. Because at the end of the day, coaches are there to win. If they don't have the players on the park to help them win, it's going to make a huge impact on whether they have a job or not.
Okay. Given your experience, what little piece of gold in terms of advice would you give to someone who was maybe just finishing year 12 mm-hmm. and was looking at getting into this industry?
Yeah.
What advice would you give them?
Try different things. Strength and conditioning isn't always what you want to do. It could be you want to look at more biomechanical stuff, or there's so many areas in this industry that you can check out. I think you've just got to test it all out, see what works. If you've got already a keen interest in it, get in contact with someone. I feel in this industry, everyone's willing to talk to people who want to learn and want to put in the hard yards. So make yourself known. You can bug people. I know I bug Jake a bit about little different things, always asking questions, even if they may seem silly. If you don't know them, you might as well ask. There's no point putting your head in the sand, just go, oh, I'll figure it out later. If you're really unsure, just ask. That's probably one thing I did when I was younger as well. I just kind of just fended for myself a bit. And then once I realized that there was a lot of people out there willing to chat and give you the information and make the industry better, it makes it a lot easier, and you become a lot more comfortable with your ability to produce different results for people, or different regimes, things like that. It's, yeah, you just got to test it, because as most of us know, making mistakes is sometimes the biggest teacher. So.
And on that, do you have any resources that you would recommend pushing people who are already in the kind of process of figuring out what they like? They've done a sports science degree, or they're doing their ASCA level 1 or 2, what resources would you push them to?
Yep.
Or experiences?
Resources. So I think you've got to read a lot. Read different articles, listen to the podcasts like these ones. There's so much information out there. You need to just, yeah, again, like I said, just test it out and what works for you. Sometimes reading isn't for everyone. Some people just like to hear things. So go out and listen to podcasts or seminars. Go to seminars. Go out to those conferences. I think that's something I'm aiming to do a lot more of, is get to conferences and hear from the best, kind of thing. Even on Instagram, social media is becoming massive with all this information. So watch those videos and look at the demonstrations they do with their athletes, or that they do themselves, and kind of question, ask a question, comment on it. They'll tell you why they're doing it. Usually they explain, but ask questions. I think that's the biggest thing, because you're not going to learn much from just being quiet and just sitting back.
What's next for Nathan Drummond? 2020, obviously. Ooh. Mid-COVID, but
yeah.
what's next for you? 2020, 2021?
I think I'm very new to all this, so I'm just, education is still my biggest thing. I just need to keep learning, keep trying to improve myself so I can improve my athletes. That's, at the end of the day, that's my goal, is to improve my athletes, get them better, get them some success on the field, on the court, wherever, whatever they're doing. Even in rehab, getting them back on the field, that's sometimes just one big goal for someone. So educating myself, always talking to yourself or the other physios we have at Optimus, our other strength trainers, Jake, Kieran, Joey, they're awesome. I love learning with them. And I think getting back on track with our sport this year will be awesome. Obviously, we'll see what happens. I think this month will be very telling for the whole world in terms of sport. But yeah, getting back to football would be great. I've missed it. It's always that saying, is you don't know what you've got until it's gone, kind of thing. So, yeah, and I really want to sort of get our players back on the park, and hopefully we can win a league premiership again. So that'd be
awesome,
nice.
Mate. How do people contact you? Instagram, Twitter,
yeah,
Facebook?
So I've got my Instagram, so ND, SNC, I think it's all, and they will post it up on this, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's my Instagram. I've got my email. too, so people want to contact me, so nathan@optimushealth.com.au. And then, yeah, I guess that's basically all I've got. Yeah, but
cool.
Ask questions. I'll probably start posting a lot more these days. So, yeah.
Thanks, mate.
No worries.
Really good to have you in for a chat.
Thank you.
We'll see where the year goes. And, yeah, we'll definitely get you on a future podcast, maybe one of the round tables, and talk some crap with KP and Cam.
Yeah, that's always happening.
Good man. Awesome, mate. Thank you.
Thank you.